This is Jane Bachrach with Chuck Maker from Alpine Animal Hospital, and you are listening to Ask the Vet on KDNK. Hi, Chuck.
How you doing, Jane?
Good. How are you?
Great.
Good.
Great day to be in the valley.
Yes, it is, although it's kind of hot out.
A little premature. It's almost like mountain fair weather already.
Yeah, I know. And in fact, one of the things we're going to discuss today is how horses can handle heat stress. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about. And we also welcome phone calls to the studio right here on this show. And you can give us a call at any time between now and 5 or a little before 5 at 963-2976. And before we discuss the problem of heat and summer grass and all that kind of stuff, I do want to say that Alpine Animal Hospital does an amazing thing in conjunction with the Carbondale Rodeo during the summer, and that is that, and they'll start on July 13th this year. It's called Time to Ride, which is actually a national program, and they invite any kids. Do you invite adults also, or no?
We've had more than the sprinkling of adults with little toddlers on the horses.
Really?
To give the kid their first horseback ride if they're really attached and won't get on there without their parent.
Well, what they do at the rodeo grounds is they give any kid, and this is free, no charge, an opportunity to ride a horse, either for the first time or if they love horses and they want to ride. They can come over to the Alpine Animal Hospital area over there at the rodeo and stand in line, or if there is no line, they can get right on a horse. There's a person who, walks with them on the horses, and Chuck said that some kids love it so much that they keep going to the end of the line, right?
And yeah, we just at the middle school graduation the other night, I saw a kid that came up to me and said that he had like 7 rides.
Whoa.
Last year at one of the rodeos because he had a good time doing it. So yeah, we do get a couple repeat customers.
Yeah, and so it's such a good experience to give young kids the opportunity to ride at no cost, and then they also can brush the horses and ride.
Yeah, we typically what we've done is we've partnered with one of the local ranches in Carbondale and the Wild West Rodeo to put a round pen down there, have a safe environment where we have 2 horses, generally one's in the middle, sitting there eating with some grooming brushes, and we can talk about horse care for people that are interested. And we have our staff love the event. They come down and sit and talk with the kids, and then we have a couple staff members that help pony the horses around the round pen. And some of the kids are like, oh, I'm here on vacation and I have horses back in Philadelphia. And some of the kids are like, oh, I have horses in Mexico. And some of the kids are like, oh, I have a horse on a ranch, but he's old and I can't ride him anymore. So it's
And some
really
of the
cool.
kids have never been on horses at all and, have right. read about them. And, I know personally because I'm a photographer and I have taken photos of these mm-hmm. kids. And the looks on their faces, those that have never been on horses before, is amazing. They are so yeah. excited.
Yeah, it's really, it isn't our gig exclusively. It was an event that kind of organically grew out of the recession in 2008 nationally with some partnerships between the Quarter Horse Association and other breed registries. And the Equine Practitioners Association that really saw a need to get kids in schools mm-hmm. in the young grades back involved and exposed into agricultural endeavors, whether in this case horses, mm-hmm. Because I don't think you have to go far in our valley to realize that it's a Western heritage area, but yet the number of people that have horses has certainly diminished with real estate going the way it has gone, and just the growth of the valley. So
right.
we're trying to give kids some exposure so that maybe someday in the future they are like, oh, yeah, maybe take some horse lessons.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a really great program. So it begins this year on during the July 13th rodeo and yep. continues for 4 weeks.
Yep.
So
we're usually there. We start, right about slack time, and then we're there until the kids get petered out.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's well after 9:30 at times, but
yeah.
usually and about that time.
Yeah. Slack starts at 5:30, I think.
Right.
So from 5:30 to about 9:30 at the rodeo yep. grounds. Yeah. Yep. So anyway, I wanted to bring that up because
cool.
it's a lot of people don't know
coming
about
out,
it.
Coming out to the rodeo.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a rodeo tonight as well.
Correct.
Yep.
It doesn't look like it's going to rain.
No, it doesn't, for a change. It usually rains on rodeo
it does.
Nights. I know. It's funny. Okay, so let's talk about laminitis for a minute, because that's pretty common this time of year.
Well, two reasons, or two broad categories, I guess, is... we know that nowadays horses live a lot older, and
right.
there are certain metabolic things that occur with horses as they age that make them prone to founder or laminitis. And then secondarily, also any age horse, the other morning, I think on Tuesday, we had close to 40 or 39 degrees. We still have those cool nights, and the ground hasn't dried out quite yet, even though this wind is drying it out quickly. So we get really lush sugar infused green, highly nutritious green grass.
Why don't we explain very briefly what laminitis and founder are for those people that don't know?
Laminitis is a condition, itis means inflammation, and it means inflammation of the lamina. And the lamina are what attach the horse's hoof to the bone inside the hoof.
Mm-hmm.
So you could envision that if the bone were poorly connected to the horse's hoof, it causes a devastating lameness.
Mm-hmm.
It and colic are the two main takers, if you will, of our older horse population. Grass founder is a largely preventable issue if we are aware of the sugar content of seasonal grass.
How long is that sugar content so high and dangerous?
Well, some of us are still skiing in March on the mountains in snow, and yet the bottom of the valley is a banana belt and has some green grass coming up. So it depends every year, but particularly important in the spring and fall when you're getting the frosty nights, it stresses the grass to produce even more sugar. And then when we get the monsoonal weather patterns in the early summer, that grass and all the really strong sun really makes for a lot of sugar content. And usually we see it taper off depending on the year, depending on the drought condition. But, July into August, where the forage tends to mature and replace its simple sugars with more structural sugars, which are less digestible,
mm-hmm.
that pose less of an issue. And we see it again in the fall, where then you have grass that's been eaten down, we start getting some water on it, but yet we have Indian summer days that warm up, and then the grass is equally sugar laden, if you will, sometimes in September, October, depending on the year.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so laminitis is a detachment, if you will, between the bone and the hoof,
and it's painful,
excruciatingly yep. painful. Horses that are severely affected will lay down and be unable to walk or try and shift more of their weight under their back legs. And, the green grass, I guess, the roundabout of green grass, I guess, at one turn you have laminitis, at another one you have, we have a lot of green grass colics in the spring where horses' hindguts are acclimating from a largely hay diet all winter to green grass. Those are really relevant issues to be aware of if you have a horse this time of year. Once they're acclimated, they can tolerate the green grass often, but oftentimes if a horse isn't getting adequate exercise and they're out on green grass fully, that's a lot of calories. They
mm-hmm.
can definitely get overweight and become unhealthy and be predisposed to other issues.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a seasonal thing that we see ebb and flow. It's ironic that in the winter we're feed them hay, and then in the spring, summer, we have beautiful grass. And depending on our horse's metabolic issues and relative age and exercise levels, you know, we might not be able to, they may not be able to tolerate 24/7 on green grass.
Right, right. Well, also, it's been really, really hot here lately.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some horse shows coming up, I know. There are several coming up at Strang Ranch.
Right.
And how should, I mean, horses that compete in shows or whatever, even in the rodeo, you know, how do you handle that stress, you know, that the horses are under in competitive events when it's so hot? What should you do? You know, or yeah. Even just horses, riding horses.
Right, right. A couple big things. You know, you horse show, you know, lots of horses that show in whatever capacity. You know, they like to do it.
Right.
Inherently, there's a level of stress. And oftentimes, sometimes there are a reduced water intake. You know, you're driving your horse up from Rifle to the rodeo in Snowmass on Wednesday or Carbondale on Thursday. You know, there's reduced time in front of water, and or horses are herbivores and require lots and lots of water to digest their food properly. And as the ambient temperature goes up, they sweat. We don't think they sweat, but they do. It's such an air, we have a relatively arid environment, and a lot of times you won't even see moisture on a horse's skin, but rather you'll see the kind of residual salt or electrolytes that they've lost through sweat. And that represents water loss that has to be replenished. And that electrolyte and water, the hydration status or maintaining a horse's hydration status during these months, whether they're showing or trail riding strenuously or just out in the backyard, is one of the, you know, I guess the pillars or the center points of making sure your horse is healthy. Making sure that they have, you know, the repository of water in a horse is largely contained in a portion of their blood and their GI tract. So making sure they have good forage in front of them and making sure that forage has adequate water relative to its quantity that's consumed. Stress induces ulcers in horses just like it does in people. An inordinate percentage, well north of 50% of some show horse populations that have had endoscope procedures done in their stomach have shown us that well more than 50% of some Western and English sport horses have subclinical gastric ulcers.
Wow.
Yeah, so a little purple pill that you may take for dyspepsia or gastric ulcers, it often finds its way sometimes into some of our show horses as well that are stressed with the multiple evenings a week transporting to shows and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, beyond the water and beyond the stomach issues, you know, making sure your horse has adequate electrolyte or salt, because just drinking water doesn't replenish their salt losses in sweat and so forth. So minimally, a salt block and a trace mineral salt, but oftentimes if horses are being transported routinely, I think giving them some electrolyte water and letting them self-regulate between regular water and electrolyte water is a healthy habit to make sure your horses are healthy.
Okay. If anyone out there wants to ask the vet being Dr. Chuck Maker from Alpine Animal Hospital, a question, give us a call right here in the studio at 963-2976 at any time. If you have a question about horses.
Horses, no goats. No goats.
Oh, yeah. Goats, horses. Come on, you treat goats.
I do.
Yeah, but Chuck would rather talk about horses. Horses, goats, cows, cattle, sheep, any piece.
Any herbivore.
Any herbivore. Okay. Camels.
Wait a minute. Now we've crossed the line.
Okay. 963-2976. What else?
You know, this time of year.
You
think about, okay, well, everybody, depending on the circuit, depending on which shows you're talking about, you know, whether it's the Rainers that are hitting the Western Slope shows in April or the Strangs like you're talking about, you know, you're commingling horses from different populations.
Right.
And having some knowledge about biosecurity and current...
What's biosecurity?
It's kind of like, you know, when you commingle a bunch of preschoolers from different schools.
Okay.
And there are different germs.
Right.
And there's usually a respiratory cold that goes around.
Gotcha.
You know, earlier this year, it was somewhat fanned out of proportion compared to other years. There was quite a bit of strangles going on, a bacterial upper respiratory tract infection condition in west of us. And, when horses are home alone, they don't expose other horses, you know, in the winter.
Right.
But, you know, once the rodeos start happening and people travel from quite a long way away, it's always good to be aware of what horses your horses are coming in contact with. And if you're bringing your horse, make sure they're healthy. And if your horse is at these events, making sure that they have the most... or up-to-date, if you will, adequate immunity to fend off any of these typical things we see in the summer.
That makes sense, and that's interesting. I never really thought about it, but, you know, at the rodeo, for example, locally at the Carbondale Rodeo, there are horses coming from all over the place, and they drink the same water. They, you know, they eat the same grass, da-da-da-da-da.
Yep. And when horses travel interstate, they require a health certificate. So
right.
There's a current veterinary element to that travel that says, okay, the horse is healthy. But horses, just like people, just like dogs, can carry bacterial and viral agents and not be sick.
Mm-hmm.
So being aware that your horse is adequately healthy to be potentially exposed, and then when you bring your horse back from the rodeo, let's say you bring a gelding back from the rodeo and you have a pregnant mare at home, you know, if that horse that you're bringing out to that show potentially is exposed to a respiratory virus, it's really important to make sure that, you know, the pregnant mare isn't necessarily exposed or is adequately vaccinated to protect her from certain.
So when should you give these vaccines? And you should do it in the early spring, shouldn't you?
Well.
Or is it too late, or can you still vaccinate a horse?
It depends. I mean, we see West Nile virus peak in August into October, and that is fluctuates with moisture and bird migration patterns and mosquitoes and so forth. And we see respiratory viruses and strangles, which is a bacterial respiratory disease, you know, kind of ebb and flow throughout the season with how horses move and with how horses in barns get closed up for the winter and spring. And, you know, ultimately spring weather can be hit or miss, good or bad, and it stresses horses, and it can cause horses to have infections with these things. So generally vaccinating in the spring prior to movement is advisable.
Gotcha. What about drinking the same water?
Like most diseases, take for instance parasites. Parasites do very poorly in a dry paddock. They die in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true with many bacterial and viral agents as well. Not pigeon fever, but nevertheless, most respiratory. You take water and add it to the mix, and these respiratory bacterial and viral infectious agents can last weeks and months. Generally, though, they're spread via aerosol. You know, it's like a common water bucket, or somebody coughed on somebody else, or somebody cribbed on the same fence rail, or, you know, somebody was tied to the same trailer and, you know, snorted at your horse or something like that. It requires some level of contact. Usually these things aren't weaponized, but nevertheless, they're equine specific. And whenever we commingle horses, there is a risk, and we try and minimize that risk by vaccinating appropriately.
Right. Because this is something I've never really thought about. And now I'm, you know, now that you're here and we're talking about it, I'm thinking about the rodeo, for example, and all of the, not only horses, but cattle and sheep that, you know, come in there. hopefully everybody has vaccinated their animals.
I think even be
and the bulls
ahead of that, though, what ends up happening is everybody that goes to the rodeo, you know, is concerned and loves their animals,
right?
And everybody does. In my experience of being down there with a truck in the evening on the rodeo, usually you don't see sick animals. You see emergencies. You see lacerations. You see stone bruises. You see acute lamenesses or colic.
Right.
You know, it's not a reason to stay away from the rodeos. Uh-huh. I think it's where we love that lifestyle, and that's what we live for.
Right.
But just kind of, you know, we're just talking about minimizing risk to make sure that we can enjoy our horses and our horses can be healthy.
Right.
You know, during the season.
Gotcha. If anyone out there is interested in, since we're on the subject of horses.
No.
Interested in
are we raffling one off or something?
No, we're not raffling one off. Okay. But there are going to be some horse shows this summer.
Yep.
Up at Strang Ranch. And there's
a couple of them are for really good causes, too.
Yeah, like there's going to be a Windwalkers horse show to support Windwalkers,
yep.
A fundraiser
last
weekend in June.
Yep.
And
I think isn't there an advocacy safe house as well?
There is, but I don't have the date for that.
I don't know. I just know that there's always
there
one
always
in
is
the
an
summer.
Advocacy
right.
safe house one. It's usually at Strang Ranch,
yep.
But I don't have that date. There's a Pony Club horse show on July 8th and 9th, and first weekend in August, the Strang Ranch Summer Spectacular. So there's plenty of, for people out there who are horse, who love horses and are horse people,
yep.
There's plenty of entertainment involving horses. And for those out there who are not horse people,
there's the sheepdog trials.
But there aren't any this summer.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I just found out from Strang's. Mm. So, but there are horse shows that you and your kids can go to.
Yep,
and
we like it. My wife, she goes to the Western Slope reining shows, and she's in Castle Rock this weekend. And
who's Sherry?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Does she do reining?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, good for her.
Yeah, it's a hoot.
Huh. Well, the other reining people, there are other reining people here in the valley, too. Like a few. Well, up at Skyline.
We won't shout out anybody out.
Okay.
Happy birthday, Erasmo.
Oh, Erasmo, happy birthday. That's right. Happy, start singing.
No, I'm not singing. I'm many things, but I'm not.
You're not a singer. Okay. We still have about, how much time?
About a minute or two.
We have a minute or two. So if you want to call and ask a question, 963-2976. I didn't realize it was so late. Okay. Ask the vet. How often are you here, Chuck?
I'm here about every 3 months, and we are here every month as a group. My colleagues and I are here with small animal and equine, you know, questions once every third Thursday of the month, I believe.
Right. Okay. All right. Because you and I have done this before,
yeah.
But we haven't done it for a long time, and I.
Yeah, they after our last, we went over 5 minutes last time, and somebody ran in, and I think they forbid us from coming back. I heard.
Oh, is that what happened?
It was on the back page of the Soap or Sun.
It was not.
Yeah. I think all three people that
and
read
it was all three people, and it was my fault.
Yeah, right? I know. I was scuttlebutt.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you again.
Okay. Well, thanks again for you can listen to us again in 3 months, unless people are clamoring.
Unless you have small animal questions, then you can be back here next month.
Yeah, next month. So thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Signing off.
Signing off from Ask the Vet.
Somebody put some Skinner on.